He is the dream, the desire of every Muslim, that he should be prosperous in this world and the next. And the actual prosperity that he is aspiring for is this, the prosperity of the next life. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. This world will have its upheavals, happy moments and painful moments. And perhaps there may be not a single soul that can say safely that I have only happy moments, I have no moments of pain and difficulty. So this world is such, is designed that you may have difficulties and you may have some good times. But once you have entered into the next life, then Allah Ta'ala willing, it can be only moments of happiness, and the happiness just multiplying. Not just one type of happiness, happiness in varying forms, types, experiences, and just multiplying all the time. But the prerequisite for this is tazakka. Tazakka literally will translate as purification, sanctifying. Now, purification, people may interpret in different ways, but Islam has its own interpretation. So basically, we talk of purification at three levels. The first level is our physical, bodily purification. If there is anything, any impurity on the body, then we say you must wash it out, without which your namaz will be invalid. And whatever Islam teaches, whatever Rasulullah teaches, it's only sense and logic and it's practical. You say we go to the toilet and we wash ourselves, right? And those that are not consistent in agreeing with Islam, and they feel, how can you wash? But now, how illogical it is to say, how can you wash? Because when that impurity touched the pan, you had to have 10 liters of water to wash it down. But that impurity that is stuck onto your back, and you don't need anything to wash it down, I ask you, any person that's got some sense and some brains, there is some impurity got into your hand, will you be quite content just wiping it out? Or you will see the need, no, to wash it. You must wash it, and then you will have something. Otherwise, here, stuck around all around, but you don't see the need to wash it. So whatever is against the teaching of Rasulullah, it is definitely insensible. But it is just for us to apply our minds, and we'll see that is totally illogical, is not appealing to our reason. So what is our bodily hygiene and our purity of the body? Similar, Islam will also speak about cleansing ourselves from foul smells. Coming to the masjid, then any foul smell, then it chases the malaika, the very, very essence and the soul of the masjid stinks. When there's a foul smell that entering into a gathering, public gathering into a masjid, then obviously it's a disturbance to others as well. Besides the ambience of the masjid, it's a disturbance to others as well. The malaika also are affected. So the bodily hygiene will also refer to not only keeping the body clean, but ridding it from any smell that is foul. Similarly, the third requirement in the physical hygiene or the bodily hygiene is that the clothing should be clean. There mustn't be any impurity on the body, otherwise it will render your salat invalid. Right? No matter how good you may be bodily, but are your clothes also pak? Right? So that also has to be clean for your namaz to be valid. Then the fourth level of this purity the outer purities, the place that you're performing namaz, that also needs to be pak and pure. There's so many levels of purity just in the physical, just on the outer dimension of purity. And therefore, you will understand one level of purity, right? And the second level of purity is the imani purity, right? So, Islam will not entertain any type of polytheism. It will not entertain it, it will not accept it. So you want your namaz or any act to be accepted, then you must come with iman. Believe in Allah Ta'ala and believe in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You fail to believe in either one, Allah Ta'ala or Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you're out. Then the Quran says, مَثَلُ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ فِي هَذِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَثَلِ رِيْهِنْ فِي أَصِرٌ أَصَابَتْ حَرْسَ قَوْمٍ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَأَهْلَكَتْ. If you fail to believe in Allah Ta'ala, or is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in the life hereafter, then you are gone. Then you can do the whole world of relief work, humanitarian aid, whatever you can do. But Allah gives it a description. What will be the description of your reward? So you've done so much for people, humanitarian, good causes. So Allah says, مَسْلُمْ عَيُنْ فِكُونَ. Whatever you spend, imagine now a person got a big, huge farm he's got, or a big factory he's got. And one icy wind, right? Icy cold wind, frost, or a fire gets it, what happens? The whole thing is wiped out. One wind or one fire and the whole thing is burnt out, right? So that's the position of the good work that a person does, but he doesn't have the element of the belief in Allah Ta'ala, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the hereafter, that all that good work of his, everything has been wiped out. So this is the second level of purity that we need to add into the equation of ibadah. Any ibadah that we're doing, we need to understand that is our foundation, our basis right, or is the foundation incorrect? The foundation has to be right and it has to be pure, absolutely pure. The purity of the iman is when everything that is anti-iman is flushed out. Anything that is anti-iman is flushed out of the system, then that iman will be called right. Like a person is getting into a marriage, so both the spouses will require to flush out the love of everything else. That you mustn't have another boyfriend, and she will say you mustn't have another girlfriend. So if that is flushed out, then we'll say that it's a clean relationship. But if it is that you're getting into a relationship, and you want to maintain that girlfriend or that wife wants to maintain that boyfriend, then I ask you, will this relationship be pure? Can't be pure. Say, no, let's break the relationship because your allegiance is not in this marriage. So break it up. So similarly here, Allah is not asking for something impossible. If you are with me, then anything that is against me, then that has to be flushed out. Otherwise, your works of ibadah are rejected, like the Quran just said, like, كَمَسَنَ رِيْحٍ فِي أَصِرٌ. It will wipe the entire factory out. It will wipe the entire business. The whole farm will be wiped out. So this is the second level of purity that is required in all our acts of ibadah. First is our bodily. Right? And there's so much of its emphasis. At-tahuru satru al-iman. Purity is half of faith. But now, purity is not just restricted to one thing. Meeting now, brush your teeth, and then you are very pure. Just apply some perfume and you are very pure. So the purity Islam teaches is different totally, and that has to be learned. What does this require? This level of purity that Islam is talking of, what does it require? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is now, you're talking about the third level of purity, the apparent purity. Then the second level of purity we spoke about is the iman. Iman, see to it that it is not contaminated with anything that is anti-iman. No matter how gross it may seem, but when it is anti-iman, then we just flush it out of the system. Right? Today it's become a habit of people that in the name of education, they will teach you shirk. In the name of education, they will teach you about polytheism, about disbelief, right? Like schools and universities will all offer evolution theory, right? Now, the evolution theory, as you move away from the teaching of Rasul Pak, then you don't realize مَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيَ نَفْسَ. You're making a fool of yourself. You're making a donkey of yourself if you move away from Rasul Pak's Mubarak teaching. So the whole theory will end up making your father a monkey or a baboon. Right? The whole evolution theory. So any person, is he happy to accept this, that my father is a baboon or a monkey? So this whole theory, that's what it ends up. So it ends up like this: when you fail to accept Rasul Pak, then you make a monkey of yourself. When you have accepted Rasul Pak as your creed, then you have accepted some type of honor and respect. Because then your lineage is ending up with Adam alayhi salam, the Rabbi of the time, right? So it's such an honorable lineage. But if you move away from Rasul Pak, then it will somersault your entire reasoning. Your reasoning will go totally off and you'll become a monkey. And then it's such a horrible title to be given. You swear a person, say you're a monkey, you're a baboon, you swear the person like this, right? Well, your father was a baboon. Isn't that deplorable? Isn't that disgraceful? Then how they work the whole theory, they give it a glossy front, an educational language they'll give it, but they will try and polish up the ignorance. That ignorance of this is just polished up with a good front. Like you see the sewage, right? And you fill it, you give it a cover of moss. So from the outside it looks so nice, green, lush and green. But just put your hand inside, what happens? It's filth, obviously. So the hearts are filled with filth. Filled with filth, right? So they either talk about evolution or they talk about coming up from a single cell, evolved, everything evolved. Just improved, grew and improved and improved. So you ask the person a simple question, right? If it was evolution, it just evolved. And that first cell, where did it come from? If you brought the person, it evolved, right? It just kept on improving, developing. But now we ask you where it started from, life, where it came from. So you have to say there's a beginning point. Someone brought about that life. Someone created that first cell. You have to say that. So we just throw that into the filth. It's a filthy belief. It is turning you away from Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's turning you away from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It's turning you away from your actual abode. So we don't need to entertain these things there. Whether at the school level, at the university level, whether it's given a glossy front, whether it's given a bad front, but the filth will remain a filth. And that filth cannot be education, that filth cannot be salvation, that filth can't be direction, can't give you direction. You're lost. When you come with that filth, then there is no accommodation for you in the hereafter. In the hereafter, the whole hereafter is sealed up, nothing for you. Now for you, you are just dispatched into Jahannam. So that was just for that filth that was contaminated your belief. So the second level of purity is your belief, and it doesn't need to be diluted, watered down, or contaminated with anything that is alien. Anything that is alien, it's failed. Up till now, we spoke about it about 100 years. But up there is not a fact, it's a theory, possibility. So why live on possibility? And the Quran is teaching you facts. You came from Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam came from sand. And it's so easy to understand, so easy to register, so easy to relate to, that you're going through such a theory, besides being mind-boggling, it is an impossible thing. It is a deplorable thing, it's disgraceful. Like I say, you tell anybody you're a monkey's son. Is that acceptable? Then how can you allude such a thing to Adam alayhi salam, that he's a monkey's son? Auzubillah. So its stupidity is deplorable, it's disgraceful, and our children need to be cleaned up in this manner. Otherwise, and if we didn't cleanse them, and we send them to this type of institutes, then we are also responsible. If they are responsible for the food that they are taking, then the one that has sent them to this type of institutes and got them into shirk, or got them into this type of wrong belief, then they will also be responsible for what they have done for their children. So this is the second level of purity, that is our iman is not diluted, not spoiled with anything. So we need to see what they are learning. or they're learning, what they're coming up with. Now, it doesn't mean now they can speak English very well. They're educated. English is not an education. It's just a language. Like Zulu is a language. You don't say someone can speak Zulu very well, he's very educated. You don't say that. So what's so great about English that a person can speak well, so we say he's very educated. It's just a little bit of a, you know, we are suffering from complex. And we're given it such a position that we know the language, we're very educated. It's got nothing to do with education. It is just a language from other languages. Lisanum min al-alsina. Just one of the languages. So why attach so much of importance to it? So this is the second level of purity that Islam not only stresses, but it commands. You must have that. Otherwise, your road to the Akhirat is destroyed permanently. No matter what charitable deed work you did, what kindness and how educated you may have been, but that iman wasn't right, then you have lost your own. Straight, going straight to Jahannam. The third level of purity is the purity of your values. Values and the mind. The mind has to have right values. So, the right values means a right character, a right demeanor, a right understanding. You see things correctly. That means your heart must be free of pride, ostentation, greed, jealousy, right? Showing off. So your heart must be clean from all these things there. And it must be beautified with good qualities, like patience, gratitude to people, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, simplicity, humility. So this is the third level of purity that is required for your salvation. And if you don't, then this will cause you a delay in the whole process. Imagine someone is coming to the immigration and is delayed for 5 days. How terrible doesn't he feel? So we don't want a delay in the hereafter. We want with death we go straight to Jannah. So how do you get that? Get your character right. And the character, this is what it refers to, the akhlaq, character, values. Rasulullah was seated with a group of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, and he says, the Sahaba-i-Kiram, there's a jannati that is coming across. Just then he spotted a person, he's coming in with the shoes in the left hand, and his beard dripping with water as though he has just taken wuzu. Look at the Sahabi, and he carries on. And for the second day, Rasulullah ﷺ makes the same announcement that a jannati is coming past. The same Sahabi comes with water dripping from his beard and the shoe in the left hand. The third day, Rasulullah ﷺ makes the same announcement. As Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-Sadiyan says, I was very anxious to know what this man is doing, that he's still on the surface of this earth and he's been given the news of jannah. He must have done something. And the wisdom is giving it. And Mayan Tikwanil Hawa, Rasulullah doesn't speak of his own. He speaks directly from Allah Ta'ala. So what is this man doing to earn such a great thing? He said, I made an excuse, I went up to him, said, I need to be staying at your place for some time, 2-3 days. So definitely my home is yours. Come, you all, you're welcome. So he saw that he's performing his namazes, doing his sunnahs, but not anything extraordinary. If his eyes open up, he's simply in some zikr, and he goes to sleep again. But what are you doing? You saw what I did. So he felt a little bit disappointed that I came to ask the person, and the person is not reviewing what he's doing. So he's in the state of disappointment, he's leaving. He said, all right, I'm disappointed. It's not for me to disappoint a Muslim. So all I do is that if Allah Pak has blessed my brother with anything, well, prosperity, good children, whatever, then I'm not malicious, nor am I jealous about it. So one of two ways, you can either malicious or either jealous. So when Allah Pak has blessed anybody with any gift, then I don't have any malice, and I'm not jealous at all. So that's it. And it's not a difficulty. If we try and work our minds correctly and give it the right shaping, then it's a small price for such a great reward. Allah Pak grant us more.